Well, we'll start. People have been fascinated by the world beyond life. That's one of the many reasons why so many people, I should say that all of the unbelievers, even many of the believers, are scared to death of death. And unknown future, life after death, these are the precise reasons why psychic industry cashes in by supposedly contacting and channeling with the dead spirit. It is a multi-billion dollar industry, and people pay top dollars to hear from so-called credible spiritists or psychics about their dead loved ones or their future. It's nothing more than demonic playground where the people pull down spiritual ignorant people, hook, line, and sinker. My mother was one of them. I have a better person who can tell our unknown future. And this one is the best because he is our future. He overrides any timeline, past, present, future, because he is not limited by time. And he's beyond our time and our space and limitation. Nothing is impossible for him, for he is our God, and it's Jesus Christ. Anna, there's someone not in the front. And don't forget the Gary's. Sit close to the front. She chose the back. Since you came in late, you're going to sit in the front row. Let's stop and pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for allowing us to be at your house. Yes, it is always curious what's like after we die. But we have that assurance comes through Jesus Christ's atoning sacrifice. We'll be in heaven. The best part of the all thing is we'll be with you, Jesus. The rest of them is icing. Help us understand these people, unbelievers, what they go through. We were there once. Help us remember where we were. Father, we pray that through your word we may be equipped to speak to the people. Then relying on these horoscopes or psychics and medium is nothing more than the demonic battlefield, the playground. Father, let us live the life that glorify your name. Let us be light in this dark world, and they may see you through us. Let our lives glorify your holy name. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Chapter 28, verse 3, please. We're going to skip the verse 1 and 2 because that, in my opinion, belongs to either chapter before or chapter 29. Now Samuel had died, and all the Israel had lamented for him and buried him in Ramah. Dana, sit in the front, please. The one who comes late, sit in the front. In his own city. And Saul had put the mediums and the spiritists out of the land. Then the Philistines gathered together and came and encamped at the Shunem. So the Saul gathered all Israel together and they encamped in the Gilboa. When Saul saw the army of the Philistines, he was afraid and his heart trembled greatly. Stop there, please. All right, who has interpretation for this, please? Interpretation time. Okay. What does it mean to you? Good? Okay. Roger?
No matter how big you look.
Okay. Well, hold on. Why Saul is afraid? Bingo. Main point. Main point. So make it into Roger. Make it for Roger. Good. James? Okay. Who else? Yes, Anna? Good. Very good. Mm-hmm. Human heaven helped those who helped themselves. Okay. Very good. The way I look at it is when a person has no protection from God, he is a totally open prey of Satan. That's why, like Roger said, and like you guys interpreted, when a person is not with God, that person should be afraid. And the person without God in this world, unbelievers, should be afraid of their death. Yes? Huh? Yeah. Here, the fact of the Samuel's death mentioned again to emphasize the spiritual vacuum of Saul and the people of Israel. To Saul's credit, he obeyed the command of Mosaic law to cast out those who practice occult. What am I talking about, occult here? It's a medium and a spiritist. What is the spiritist? Can somebody explain to me, define? Yes. Huh? Define the spirit more. Is the Holy Spirit? Dead people. Speaking with the dead people or the some of the spirit, unknown spirit. Yes. That's in, not only the dead people, also the spirit. A lot of times enlighten the ancient spirit they call. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like a Korean. Yeah. And we used to bow down to our ancestor picture. It's like, what am I doing? The food was good, so I was a kid. Really didn't care.
You didn't come from here, too.
Yeah. And that the Lord said that remove them. In Leviticus 19:31, you might want to jot it down. Leviticus 19:31, 26 and 20, chapter 20, verse 27. Also Deuteronomy 18:9-14. Okay. Leviticus 19:31, chapter 20, verse 6 and verse 27. And Deuteronomy 18:9-14. That's when Samuel was still influencing Saul. He did that. The thing such as a tarot card, folks, listen carefully. Tarot card, palm readers, and horoscope, fortune telling, transcendental meditation, out of body experience, and psychics, hypnosis, Oriental yin-yang philosophy, and a crystal ball, and a Ouija board. I'm sure you can add a whole lot more. Dungeon and Dragon is another one. Is they are modern-day attempt to practice form of spiritism. And they are dangerous link to the demonic realm, and even if the undertaken in the spirit of fun. Christians should have absolutely nothing to do with the occult or its practice. Be careful what your grandchildren or your children are playing in the video game. Anything to do with the Dungeon and Dragon, tell them don't do it. It's a bad, bad thing. By the way, I heard from somebody, there's a new thing going on amongst the Christian churches and amongst Christian thing. I cannot pronounce it exactly. E-L-L-E something, Elegram. L-E is nine. Like a pentagon is a five, right? Hexagon is a six. This one is a nine shape. And they said it's such a gift of peace and harmony and all that garbage. The same content, different package, coming from New Age and originally came from the Egypt. It's infiltrating to the Christian churches. If you have any doubt, come talk to me. Okay? Anything to do with the human psyche, stay far away. It's no wonder that Saul was afraid because he no longer has God in his life. If we say David was a backsliding at this point, Saul was a free falling without parachute. Not even backsliding. There's no slide, he's just falling. And he's about to hit the ground. Let's go to the verse 6, please. And when Saul inquired of the Lord, and the Lord did not answer him, neither by dreams nor by Urim or Thummim, and by the prophet. When Saul said to his servant, find me a woman who is a medium, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servant said to him, in fact, there is a woman who is a medium at Endor. So the Saul disguised himself and then put on the other clothes, and he went, two men with him. And they came to the woman by night, and he said, please conduct the seance for me and bring up for me the one I shall name to you. Then the woman said to him, look, you know what the Saul had done, how he has cut out the medium and the spiritists from the land. Why then do you lay a snare for my life to cause me to die? And Saul swore to her by the Lord, saying, as the Lord lives, no punishment shall come upon you for these things. Stop. Interpretation, please. Yes. Okay. Good. Yes. You think?
Reason, huh?
You think?
And then he seeks. And then still trying.
Okay. Good job. Thank you. Who else? Good. 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 Yes. You've been hanging around Green Valley too long?
It's in the water. Oh, that when God doesn't have, God doesn't.
So how did that work for you? So you're gonna do it again?
God later.
Okay. Have you ever felt that way when the Lord didn't come through, so you tried to do something, and as soon as you started, you're thinking, this is not right. This is not right. You know you are not doing the right thing, and you're still doing it because of you and I are so stubborn bullhead, aren't we? Mm-hmm. Have you been there?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Never. Not at all. And you do know that you are at the church, right? Hold on. All right. What's a patient? Okay, here's my interpretation. When we don't hear from the Lord, we should look at our own life closely to find out if there is any unconfessed sin. And that's why, search me, O God, know my thought, see if there is anything wicked in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. Second thing that I see is that we should seek the Lord through His word, not worldly ways. What if Saul did, instead of seeking the medium, if he said, find me a prophet, let's hear from the Lord. Could God guide him? Even though he messed up all this time? Yeah, you bet.
Forgive me.
Yep. See, a lot of people think the God of the Old Testament is a vengeful God or the avenging God or mean God with a white long beard. No, He's a merciful God. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 22, and His mercy renews every morning. And right? Lamentation, I'm sorry. Thank you. Saul is in a terrible place. And Philistine is threatening Israel, and Saul's courage had failed, and now that God is silent, and then Saul sits. And God is silent when Saul seek Him. Why is God silent toward Saul? Wouldn't God answer everyone's if they seek Him? Not always. Not always. Because if that person was not doing what he's told to do, and he's looking for a new answer, no, God is telling him, no, go back to do what I told you to do first. Repent. Then I will give you further instruction. Have you ever done that before? Like putting together a plastic model. I've done that before. I want to skip to the number 14 instead of doing number 1. How that works? It doesn't work well. Like put together landing gear. I don't want to put together landing gear. I want to put together cockpit, fun stuff. Yeah, what's that? If we are not getting God's answer for our prayers, we must examine our lives to see if there is anything that hinders our prayers to Him. Let me say it one more time. If we are not getting God's answer for our prayer, we must examine our lives to see if there is anything that hinders our prayer to Him. What would be the one that hinders our prayer? Husbands? I'm asking the husbands. Huh? Just come up with a one. The one in the one in mentioned in 1 Peter. Okay, let's go to 1 Peter. Go to verse 7, chapter 3, verse 7. Husband, likewise, dwell with them. Are you there yet? Don't sit there without turning your Bible, okay? Especially husbands. Husband, likewise, dwell with them in with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, as being heir together of the grace of life, that your prayer may not be hindered. So your relationship with your wife is extremely important in your prayer life. You with me? Okay, ladies, spare your elbows now. Don't poke him. Yes, ladies, if you are trying to treat your husband the way you treat your kid, you got the wrong one. You don't have a husband as children. Treat your husband with the respect. Don't treat him like a little child. Sometimes he may act like one. Okay, let's move on. Verse 7. Back to verse 1 Samuel. Go back to verse 7. And Saul said to his servant, find me a woman who is a medium, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And the servant said, in fact, there is a woman who is a medium of Endor. In verse 7, instead of the repenting and seeking God with all of his heart, Saul turned to find more trouble, a medium. By sovereignty of God, God knew that Saul would not repent from his sin, but head to the deeper sin. That's why the Spirit of God left him. In my opinion, that's one of the saddest verses that mentioned about Samson in the book of Judges. The Spirit left Samson, he did not know. How dull do you have to be that Spirit is gone and you don't know, right? Traditionally, I'm going to change the slide. Traditionally, this woman is known as a witch of Endor. It may be appropriate to call her witch, but it is more accurate to call her a medium, one who seeks to conduct with contact with the dead. Hebrew word for the medium is ob, and it has idea of a mumbling or speaking with a strange hollow sound, as if one were channeling with a dead person speaking through them. English word medium has in mind the contact of the channel standing between the world of the living and the world of dead, and communicate between the two worlds. Now, I think 2 or 3 years ago, there was a TV series, I've never seen it, called Medium. And I saw the preview, small portion, another one called Evil, Demon Possession. I was thinking, you have no idea what kind of thing you're dealing with. By seeking the medium, Saul bring upon himself a curse and more trouble from God. Go to, keep your finger in 1 Samuel, go to Leviticus chapter 20, please. Verse 6. Chapter 20, verse 6. You there? When a person who turned to mediums or familiar spirit to prostitute himself with them, I shall set my face against that person and cut him off from his people. I must point out this very important thing. When Saul was not hearing from God, the right thing for him to do was humble himself and seek God's way and repent from his sin. God would have met him where he was. Instead of that, Saul chose to go an ungodly way to ruin himself and his family further. Would God forgive Saul and listen to his plea? Yes, 1,000 times yes. our God is full of mercy and His love is boundless. But He is holy and righteous God who does not negotiate with sin. Amen? I'm sure this woman of Endor thought this is some sort of government thing. That's why she wouldn't do it at the beginning. It's rather amusing that at the same time it's annoying thing that Saul was using God's name. As the Lord lives. Did you hear that? Just because somebody is using God's name or the religious jargon, does it mean anything? All right, go to verse 11, please. Then the woman said, "Whom shall I bring up for you?" And he said, "Bring up Saul for me." Samuel for me, rather. Thank you. Bring up Samuel for me. Then when the woman saw Samuel, she cried out with a loud voice. And the woman spoke to Saul, saying, "Why have you deceived me? For you are Saul." And the king said to her, "Do not be afraid. What did you see?" And the woman said to Saul, "I saw a spirit ascending out of the earth." Note that. Spirit ascending out of the earth. So he said to her, "What is his form?" And he said, "An old man coming up, and he's covered with a mantle." And Saul perceived that it was Samuel. And he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed down. All right, what do you see here? Huh? Okay, make an interpretation instead of being smart aleck. Counselor? Yes? Good. Okay. Yes, Anna? You read a commentary? Wow, you study? Oh my goodness. I'm so pleased. Mm-hmm. So it was it Samuel or not Samuel? What do you think? Okay, we heard from you that's what commentary said. What do you think? Okay, why? Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Yes. Last night, was it last night or the night before last night, we were watching old Ironside movie, TV series. And there was an incident with a Mexican young man doing miracles. And Ironside said, he was asked, "Would you believe miracles?" He said, "Well, if we can explain scientifically." Folks, if a miracle can be explained scientifically, it's a miracle. Okay? All right, who else? Yes?
Mm-hmm. New King James, it's the spirit.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That confuses me, Samuel.
Exactly. We will talk about that. All right, the way I see it is the demonic world is still under God's control. She thought that she was doing the fake show and bring some spirit. And like Manny said, she got scared because it really happened in front of her eyes. And God's mercy is beyond incredible because He gives another chance to Saul and then interpret the way. How many times this have we fouled up? Anybody remember? Yeah. So how many times do we need to get a mercy from the Lord? Umpteen times, right? So somebody come to you and sin against us. How many times do we forgive? Seven times the 70.
70 times 7. You forgive them always.
Yeah. Speaking of forgiveness, as a Christian, forgiveness is a mandatory, mm-hmm. right? Yep. Restoration is depending on the situation. All right. In his sin, depression, and demonic influence, Saul forgot that Samuel was in fact his adversary when he slipped into sin. Because Samuel told him, God has left you and I'm leaving you. Remember that in chapter 15? Mm-hmm. Why is this medium so shocked? I really believe that she was a fraud. She was doing her own show and tell people what they want to hear so she can get money. That's the bottom line. Same thing. If you notice, many of formerly well-known Hollywood movie stars and singers, now there has been, and since they cannot get a job in the movies and doing concerts, so they started getting into the psychic industry. Good example, Eric Estrada. Yeah. Remember Chips and Dionne Warwick and Cleo? They all got into the 1-800 Psychic. Are they trying to help people? They said so, but no. It's about money, bottom line. In verse 13, Hebrew word spirit in New King James Version is actually the Elohim. Yeah, but Elohim is the El is a singular in Hebrew word for God. Elohim is plural, more than one God. Does it mean that this Samuel is deified? No. Does it mean that she's seeing the one true God? No. She had to use her own language to explain this God the way she said it. Because remember, being a spiritist, she believed in multi-gods, polytheistic concept. Good example is in Daniel. Go to Book of Daniel, please. Behind Jeremiah. I'm holding the Book of Jeremiah and could not find the Daniel. No wonder, right? After Ezekiel, chapter 2. Hold on. No, I went to the wrong place. No. No, chapter 3. My bad. I'm getting there. Yeah. Okay, verse 13. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury, gave a command to bring the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They brought this man before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke and saying to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up?" And go down to verse 19. Then the Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and the expression on his face changed toward the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace 7 times more than it's usually heated. His command, he commanded a certain mighty man of valor who were in his army to bind the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their clothes, a coat and their trousers and turban, their other garments, they were cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent, and furnace was exceedingly hot, the flame of fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. And these 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselor, "Did we not cast the 3 men bound into the midst of the fire?" And they answered, said to the king, "True, O king, look, I see 4 men loose walking in the midst of the fire. They are not hurt, and the form of the 4th is like the Son of God." But actually, in Hebrew word, this God is not El, rather Elohim. Why is that? Why, as a proper translation is, English translation should be G-O-D-S, not G-O-D. Why is that? I know what the King James Version said. I know what the New King James said. Why G-O-D-S, plural? Because as a pagan king, he doesn't understand that one true God, one deity, and triune God. So in his vocabulary, he was using what is fitting for him, using gods, Elohim. Am I making sense? Yeah, polytheistic God. Huh? Yes, that's correct. Actually, New American Standard Version is a very good literal translation. When I was a baby Christian, when I read this portion, I couldn't follow because was really that person's spirit coming up, or is God trying to? Is this something she's fooling around? What do I think about it now? Now I believe that it was a real Samuel sent by God. The medium was surprised, and Saul identified him as Samuel, and the message Samuel spoke was clearly from God. There's nothing impossible for God to do, including bringing up Samuel's spirit in spite of a woman's evil profession. Am I making sense? So this strange incident is controversial. Of course, whenever there is this kind of thing, all the Bible scholars disagree. They come up with four different concepts. Number one, it was hallucination of the medium. Second concept, this was a deception of the medium. Neither one is correct because she was scared. Third concept is this was a demonic impersonation of the Samuel. I doubt it. Number four is many believe that this was genuine but strange appearance of Samuel. This is the best explanation in my opinion because it is supported by the reaction of a medium and what he says and the acknowledgement of the Saul. Some say that it's impossible Saul to reappear in some way coming from the world beyond the bag to this world. I disagree. Two other people came back from the world, from the beyond. Who are they? The other guy. Yeah, that guy, right? Yeah, Elijah. It's the same. It's the same. Yeah. Same spirit showing up. It's not bodily resurrection. It's just spirit.
The other person was Elijah.
Yeah, I said. You're about 2 hours behind. Why would God allow the Samuel to come up and speak to Saul? Saul appeared because God had a special purpose to warn this obedient king for his approaching death, and he might have an opportunity to make a peace with his maker one last time. But did he do? He didn't. Verse 15, please. Are you with me, Chris, over there? Now the Saul said to Samuel said to Saul, "Why have you disturbed me by bringing me up?" He's not pleased.
I had a good was.
Yeah, he was enjoying there. And the Saul answered, "I am deeply distressed for the Philistine make war against me, and God has departed from me and does not answer me anymore, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore I have called you, that you may reveal to me what I should do." Then Saul said, "Why then do you ask me, seeing the Lord has departed from you and has become your enemy?" Boy, talk about being dragged, huh? Mm-hmm. "And you thought I was dragged. And the Lord has done for himself as he spoke by me. For the Lord has torn the kingdom out of your hand and given it to your neighbor David, because you did not obey the voice of the Lord nor execute his fierce wrath upon Amalek. Therefore, God, the Lord has done these things to you this day." All right, give me an interpretation, please. Yeah, if I was Saul, I would like to die right there now, not later. What is your interpretation? Is that your interpretation? Okay. Good. What he said?
No. What he said was good.
Yeah.
You know, but what Saul was doing, he still.
Does Saul need the Samuel to get to the Lord?
New Saul. Paul,
Samuel.
Because that was his.
Yeah.
Well, the person he looked up to.
Okay. Hold on. Dana. Like our daughter who goes to mom before she comes to me. Oh, okay, I get it. Feel good church. Ah. Yes, Manny. Amir? You are more responsible. Yes. Yep. Exactly. Yes. You need to speak louder for the peanut gallery here. Good. Good one. Yes. All right. Let me put it this way. God never departs from man until the man has departed from him. Then, in the interest of righteousness, God is against that man. Am I making sense? Here's another important point we must notice. Samuel's word would be the mouth of anyone who left the place of comfort and blessing, world beyond. And he rather go back to this, like, why are you bothering me, Dad, look, right? Probably he was missing some of the football game there. Properly speaking, punt? Yeah. Samuel was not in heaven. Jesus explained the story of the rich man and Lazarus in Luke chapter 16. And before the finished work of Jesus on the cross, believing dead went to a place of comfort and blessing known as Abraham's bosom, also known as paradise, according to Luke 23:43. When Jesus finished his work on the cross, the sin penalty is paid for those believing dead, and they were ushered into the heaven immediately. According to Romans 10:6-7, Jesus descended the heart of the earth to bring up the spirit who were staying there. Let me make a brief diagram here. Old Testament saint died, and the Old Testament sinner died. Saint goes to the place called Abraham's bosom, also known as paradise. The sinner goes to the place where he's going to get tortured. There's a big chasm where they cannot cross either way. Remember the conversation between the rich man is in the terrible place and Father Abraham, and sends someone, the Lazarus, come over here, dipped his finger in the water and so he can cool my tongue, being tormented. But what about the New Testament believers? They don't go down to here. They go straight to heaven. What about the sinners? They go to here, still go to here, and waiting until judgment day. Saul sounds like a person who is typically self-made victim mentality. Often, the person with a self-made victim mentality complains and whines about the situation he or she is in. But they don't explain why they end up in that mess. I'm not talking about the victim by the accident or the outside influences. I'm talking about the people who put themselves in the mess and want others to come in and rescue them. But they don't want to change their lifestyle. Do you remember a few of them? When I was involved in the prison ministry, I met many of them. Saul lists the problem. He is in distress, war about to break out, and God departed from him, and he doesn't want to talk to him anymore through a dream, the prophet Urim and Thummim. But he did not say anything about his disobedience to the Lord or repenting from his disobedience. And like one of you guys said, he doesn't want to change his way, he just wants the solution. This is what I said for the interpretation. God never departs from man until the man has departed from the Lord. Then in the interest of righteousness, God is against that man. Samuel clearly pointed out the problem of Saul. Since Saul did not do what he is supposed to do 15 years ago, killing King Amalek. So why should God give him any more instructions and guidance? Apparently, after those 15 years, Saul thought, maybe God changed his mind. He doesn't know God, does he? Our repentance and genuine brokenness may change God's mind, but never time, folks. And he doesn't forget, unless we repent. Exactly. We could be in the same situation as Saul. Can I change the slide? We may seek God and his wisdom to handle the current situation we are in, but the Lord is not answering our prayers because of our disobedience in the past, and we did not seek for his forgiveness. We need to take care of that problem right away. That's why keeping short account with God is so important. Whenever we sin against God, we need to come to him immediately and ask for his forgiveness. Then he will forgive us. Go down to verse 19, please. Moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with you into the hand of Philistine. And tomorrow you and your sons will be with me. Wow, that's not a good news, is it? And the Lord will also deliver the army of Israel into the hand of the Philistine. Verse 20. Then immediately Saul fell full length on the ground and was dreadfully afraid because of the word of Samuel. And there was no strength in him, for he had eaten no food all day or all night. And a woman came to Saul and saw that he was severely troubled and said to him, "Look, your maidservant has obeyed your voice. I have put my life in my hand and heed your words that which you spoke to me. Now, therefore, please heed also the voice of your maidservant. Let me set a piece of bread before you and eat, that you may have a strength when you go on your way." But so he refused and said, "I will not eat." So his servant, together with the woman, urged him. He heeded their voice. So he arose from the ground and sat on the bed. Now the woman had a fattened calf in the house. She hastened to kill it, and she took the flour and kneaded and baked the unleavened bread from it. So she brought it before Saul and his servant, and they ate. Then they rose and went away that night. All right, give me your interpretation, please. Anyone?
Something you
want to hear. As for God's will, then you cannot go wrong. All right, Manny.
And he refuses.
Good point. So make it to Manny. Make it to Manny. Make it as...
It's not the medication.
Good. Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what did you interpret?
So,
you want me to come back?
Yeah.
Okay. Ma'am. Mikey.
Help me to get out.
Okay. Very good. Before I forget, since I live near Green Valley, there's homework for you. Tonight, before you go to sleep, ask the Lord, see if there is anything that you want me to deal with? Do you want me to be right with you? See if, search me, O God, know my heart. Go through that. Do that. Would you do that, please? All right. Wayne, you raise your hand.
You've got sickness.
Well, let me put it this way. Sometimes we ask God something we want so bad. So we demand, practically beg and cry and nag, all that, right? Be careful. Most likely if you have to nag to God, it's not from God. All right. Anna? Mm-hmm.
Saul.
Mm-hmm. Tell us how you feel about Saul. Do you know the difference between you and Saul? You have Jesus, that's why. If you didn't have Jesus, probably you do the same thing. Or, I'm going to run up my credit card. Hold on. Yeah, buy a Lamborghini. That means it's a figure of speech. Yeah, it's a figure of speech. You will be dead meat.
Yeah.
Yes.
Save myself.
Mm-hmm.
Do we?
Yep.
I'm going to miss them. There has to be more.
Amen. Amen. Good. Okay, Dana, we're back. All right, that's fine. We'll go on. Sure.
Okay.
Good thing. All right, what I see here is we can never assume that we will have as much time as we want to repent. The desire to repent and the opportunity to repent are gifted from God. I'm going to put that thing on the slide. If remaining of his sin was not bad enough, Samuel does not beat around bush, did he? Saul asked him what to do, and Samuel answered him what would happen. God's judgment was already in motion before the time. What if Saul said, "Okay, I was absolutely wrong. I repent," and he truly broken? Would he be spared and live longer? Maybe, maybe not. But at least he's right with God, right? Let me say one more time what I said. We can never assume that we will have as much time as we want to repent. The desire to repent and the opportunity to repent are gifts from God. I don't believe that Saul would be in heaven. And you may say he is backslidden. Some people, the people who believe the eternal security, will say, well, he never been saved. People who believe in the other one, that you can lose lose a salvation, he said he lost the salvation. Either way, he's not going to be in heaven. What about Jonathan, the godly son? Yeah, he would be in heaven. According to Luke chapter 16, verse 19 through 31, there's a two separate world on earth. Did you notice what it says? Samuel, the spirit ascending from the heart of the earth. I truly believe that. And there is a place inside of the earth. And somebody would ask, you mean there's a big hollow place? I don't know. But I don't think it has to be a hollow place. Because spirit does not need a physical body space. What a sad story this is. God gave a chance after chance to Saul to repent from his disobedience. But he went down to his grave with the disobedience in his heart. I hope and pray that none of us in our church would do that kind of thing. Philistine army is against Saul, and God of the universe is against him. This guy is toast. Let me ask you this. This connects with your homework. Are you against God? Do you have a hidden sin that is against God? I don't know where you are. I do know where I am. And you may say, well, my sin is not that big. Really? We cannot ride on the fence. Either we are saved and on his side, or we are not saved against him. I'm not saying if we sin against God, we're going to lose salvation. Let's not go there. There's not enough time to argue about it. There's not enough time for us to be right with him. We need to be right with him each moment. What if we goof up? Well, that's why he gave us 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I have three applications. Due to the time, I'm going to give it to you. There is a life after death. The place where we are going to spend our eternity is up to us. I believe that all of us decide to spend the time with Jesus. Second application, let's not let our sin have upper hand in our lives. We need to deal with our sins as God sees. Did you see what I said here? Mm-hmm. See our sin as God sees. A friend of mine said, well, you cannot even get out of bed then. Yeah, it's that bad. But we need to move. We need to continue to do the work of God. Third application, let's stay away from any of the ungodly things. As a born-again Christian, we should not have anything to do with any of those occultic things because they are damnable things in the sight of the Lord. If you have any question, any wonders for the certain things, some of the things, come talk to me. What do they call it? Feng Shui?
Feng Shui.
Feng Shui? The placing the things in the strategically, so that it will bring the good fortune. First of all, there's no such a thing as a good fortune. You with me? There's no such a thing as a good luck. So don't say to one another, good luck, as a Christian. There's no such a thing as a good luck. Blessing, yes. God's blessing be with you. You're wishing them good things. That's fine. And the evil cannot come against you unless God says, okay. And nothing will stop you unless God says. And you will not die. You are practically invincible until your time comes. What if you may say, what if I step in front of the Mack truck? Oh, that's your time. Bye-bye. So, listen, the most important thing, each moment we lived for God. I don't live for you. Your elders don't live for you. And don't try to ride in somebody else's spiritual coattail. You go to heaven through your own relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Let's stand up and pray.